Are you ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book, but unsure where to start? I'm Lynn Aliquity-Smargis, and I work with thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to write and self-publish their book with confidence. From conquering imposter syndrome to navigating book marketing, join me each week for practical wisdom and proven strategies, bringing you closer towards your goal of self-publishing success. Whether you're a CEO with revolutionary ideas or a speaker with an inspiring journey, the Publishing for Professionals podcast is your roadmap to becoming a published best-selling author. Hey, friends and future authors, it's Lynn Aliquity-Smargis, ghostwriter and book editor here at Write For You. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We're going to be talking about how to increase your email marketing list to get more people and more eyeballs on your new author book. And a big welcome back to my returning listeners. Thanks for joining me again. And another big welcome to my new listeners. I'm so glad you stopped by to check out my podcast. Please make sure to hit the follow button to get professional writing and publishing information dropped straight to your podcast player every week. Well, this episode and this week, I am so excited to have my guest on today. I have an incredible conversation lined up for you, listeners. I'm joined by Scott Carson. Scott, he's from small town Texas roots, and he went to nationally recognized authority in note investing. And his journey is a testament to the power of entrepreneurship and a strong work ethic. Growing up in Ingleside, Texas, he learned the value of hard work at his family's hardware store, and these early lessons really shaped his career, and it led him to excel in sales and finance. Scott's diverse background includes success in the telecommunications industry with Verizon Wireless and financial services at Citigroup and Chase, where he honed his skills in finance and investing. However, his entrepreneurial spirit led him to the world of real estate and note investing. So today, Scott is here to share with us how he built his email list to 50,000 subscribers. That's right, 50,000. And he's going to share this information with you so you can increase the marketing power of your email list for your first or next book. So not only are we going to talk about strategy, but we're also going to talk about how you can apply them to publishing and marketing your book. So I hope this episode provides practical wisdom you've been searching for. Scott, thank you so much for joining me today on Publishing for Professionals.
I'm honored to be here, Lynn. I'm just an Ingleding from Ingleside, Texas, but I feel with that intro music, I should be wearing like a whole like different outfit, like something out of a Bridgerton. You know what I mean? Because it's great music. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. I love it. So it is. All good to go.
I never thought about it. When you said Bridgerton, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's definitely Bridgerton music. That's probably why I picked it. Because when I was producing this podcast, I was probably listening to Bridgerton or watching Bridgerton. And yeah, that was probably it.
Well, then you're awesome. You're just prepared for the next season is coming out next year, something like that, if I remember correctly.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, that's funny. So Scott, tell me, so you're note closing now. You originally did not start out in note closing, but you started out in note closing and you're building your email list. And we know still today, right? No matter, like, it doesn't matter how many social media platforms are out there, email marketing is still the number one best way to market your platform, no matter what vertical you're in. So when you decided to start building your list, you know, what was your first goals and what are some things that you may have tried in the beginning that may not have worked as well?
So this actual specific statistic from the American Marketing Association is that for every dollar you spend on email, you should get a 44% increase. It should be good 44 times, a 4,400% return on email marketing still to this day, because no matter what niche you're in, publishing, real estate investing, you really own two things out there. You don't own your social media platforms. They can shut you down anytime. You own your email list, which you can take anywhere, and your RSS feed. You know what I mean? Those are the two most important things. But when I got started years ago, I had a coach tell me, like, listen, if you're going to go out and start networking, and back in that day, that was 20 plus years ago, we didn't really have a lot of podcasts or a lot of the tools that we're using today. We just had business cards, right? So when I got started, my coach says, when you go out and network to events, and for us, I go to a lot of like real estate investing clubs, networking clubs, you know, meetup groups, stuff like that. I would always take business cards. I would always grab business cards. So I made it a game, actually. And if I would go into a new thing, I would want to walk up with 5 or 10 business cards. I would look at approximately how many people are at that event. And I said, well, I want to get a tenth of those people's business cards. And my original card was blank in the back so that they didn't have a business card. I could still give them one mine and have them fill out their information, give it back to me. And then I go home at night and I would put all that information into a spreadsheet. This was before I had like MailChimp as a CRM tool or something like that. I don't remember what it was. but I would take everybody's and put it into an Excel spreadsheet. So, and you know, like first name, last name, email, what they were focused on, what their niche was, a little note about the conversation. And I would put that in an Excel spreadsheet so that I had a list to email out to. Start doing that, building the list. And I would always set up a follow email, which is just as important as getting that email, and say, hey, it was nice meeting you last night at the local Austin Real Estate Investment Club or the Portland Real Estate Networking Club. And so that's one thing that we still do to this day over 20 years later, whether I'm speaking or I have a booth somewhere or something like that. At the end of every day, like if it's a Friday, Saturday event, at the end of Friday night, I take the business cards we acquire, we go and put them into our database, they get an email blast out. And then they get an also email blast out a day after the event. So if it ends on Sunday, don't send it Monday because most people are traveling. I would send it to Tuesday to them, the same thing. Hey, it was great meeting you again. Here's what our conversation was. And also, hey, check out my podcast or check out my free book or my class and kind of go from there just to start that conversation, because 80% of sales comes after the fifth contact. And so that's the thing I have in my mind, is that they're not going to buy anything from me. Maybe they listen to a podcast episode, which is great, or a YouTube video or my ebook, but I got to touch base with. Now, of course, if they opt out, I don't get upset. That's fine. But I also notice that if the email bounces, we can correct it quicklier on the front end by seeing that it bounced and being able to correctly, did we misread that person's email versus waiting a week or two before we email them out? And that's the one thing too. We don't see a lot. We go to a lot of events. I give out playing cards. I rarely get emails back from people and stuff. And that's when I teach classes too, Lynn, we would also give the registration list out of everybody that was in the class for people, allow them to be able to network with people. So they didn't run around trying to network. They were actually could spend time learning. I mean, networking is always very important. Don't get me wrong. But we could always tell who was the most successful students were going to be, because within 48 hours, we would get an email blast from our students saying, hey, it was great meeting you. And so that's a little tool, just simple to do. But most people forget about that, don't do that at all. You know?
Yeah. Actually, and to your point, is funny because you said, like, a lot of people will go into a networking event and they're like, oh, can I get a list of attendees? But like, to your point, I am 90% of the time, I'm the first person that reaches out to someone to contact them after an event. And when I take their card, one of the things I always tell people is, like, if you give somebody your card, most likely they're not going to call you back. It's not because they may not want to use your services. It's just people typically are not consistent with emailing people back. And so I take someone's card and I write what it is about them when I met them, because, you know, you're never going to remember any of those details. And then when I get back, I'm like, hey, it was so great. We had coffee at, you know, Starbucks, blah, 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 whatever we did right at the event. And so I love your goal of 10% of the total attendees. I think that's a great number to shoot for, because you don't want to, obviously, you don't need to network with everybody, right? Only a certain percent are going to be your ideal client or avatar. But I like that 10%, because I feel like that's a really manageable thing. Is if there's 400 people there, you're looking to get 40. I mean, that may or may not happen, but I think 10% is a really good, reasonable goal to shoot for. You're using your networking to build your email list, which I love. I also do that as well. So you use your networking, your podcasting obviously helps build your email list. So what are some things that you have found that, I guess, moving the needle for you for making your email list, like, as far as, let's talk about lead magnets first. Like, so what are some types of lead magnets? And I know this might be different for my listeners, right? But what are some types of lead magnets, like checklists, things like that, that you found for your avatar and your vertical that have really started to move the needle for increasing your email list?
So checklists are always great. You know, a one-page PDF that can give away, get people to opt in. And we've mixed whether giving away for free or giving it away or charging something like $1 or $7 for it. Okay. And actually the ones that actually, when you do charge for it, those are more qualified applicants. Those are your ideal clients, ideal listeners, ideal whatever. You get a lot of dead wood to take away the freebies. Okay. It's just going to happen. And it is what it is. You work through them. When I was a radio DJ in college, we used to call those the price picks. You know, those are the freebies. People that show up for the free t-shirt or the free tickets at any like DJ remote, those are price picks. You know what I mean? And you're going to have your share of price picks. Okay. But in this world today, one of the best, really two things that have worked outstanding. Anybody can do this no matter what niche you're in. We teach a free class. I give away a free teaser class of about 3 hours of me teaching 14 sessions on how to get started as a note investor, right? It's called Note Weekend. And the whole goal of that is just to capture leads for the most part. It's a free giveaway. And we know we're going to get a good conversion rate of those people that go through that 3-day class, whether we teach it live on Zoom on the first or the third Saturday of the month, or they watch the replay. But when they go to the website, you'll see they click on, they give me their email, their name. I don't ask for a credit card. Then they're sent an email with the replay. They're sent a Zoom link to register. Of course, if you're ever going to do anything with Zoom, always require people to register. That's a great lead magnet as well. You can go and tweak the question. So I, besides just first name, last name, and email, I ask city, state, and phone number so that I can add them to a text blast for anything else that comes out. Or I know if I have a deal in a specific city or something pop up, I can now, oh, they're in Austin, Texas, or they're in Texas. Here's something to market to, or I'm going to be here at this meetup. I can market to them, hey, come on out and network with me. And it's literally, I shoot for a 25% conversion ratio on that. We get about a 50% conversion ratio on that free class. Hey, we share, hey, we're teaching our free class this weekend. Feel free to refer it to a friend. Of course, we put it on socials. We post it on all our like LinkedIn. We'll only put it as a lead magnet at the bottom of every one of our podcast episodes. Hey, sign up for a free 3-day or 3-hour class. You know what I mean? So we're posting it everywhere that we can to drive engagement into it. And that's how we've built. That's one of the ways we've built an email list of 65,000, actually. On a big email list, especially in real estate, you're lucky if you get a 10% open rate. We get about a 20-25% open rate on that list. And then we've even got inside that list, we would call it our hot list, which is about 25,000 people that open at a 40-50% clip rate when we send an email out.
Wow, that's incredible. And so you said you get a 50% conversion rate. Now, for an author, obviously, they're not going to be teaching a class. But for an author, you could do like a meet the author event.
You could read your first book. You read the first chapter. You could bring a couple of authors together and work off of each other's aspect of things. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to drive engagement to what you're doing. You know, like you said, a meet and greet. You know, I think of the poetry slams or the readings and stuff like that. Come out and register for it at the local coffee shop. I mean, that's another thing, too, is if you're going somewhere or work with that local vendor, that location to help promote you as well and capture that lead list. You know, hey, I'll come out and speak, but I'm willing to give away 5 books if you give me the registration list. For me, when I'm speaking at a conference or something like that, I often have to pay a good chunk of money to get the database, but I want to make sure there's plenty of people there to do that. But here's another kind of a samurai trick, if you like, okay? So you take this email list you've gotten from your opt-ins, your leads, and usually for this to work, you need to have 1,000 or more email addresses. You can go to Facebook, and you can upload this list of people into a custom audience on your marketing on Facebook, and then you can create a lookalike audience based on the characteristics of the 1,000 emails that you uploaded. And Facebook can go out and create however big you want that list to be, the lookalike audience, and then you can drip market to that lookalike audience who usually have the same characteristics as your list. And that's a great way to start driving people into your, you know, free book giveaway or your free reading, even narrow down by geography, things like that too.
I love that. That's a great idea. And I never thought of doing that. I didn't know that that was actually a marketing technique you could use. So you said talked about paying for a conference list, right? For people. We're going to take a break right here because we're at the halfway mark. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some other types of paid marketing you can use to increase your list to get more people and more eyeballs on your stuff. So stay tuned, my friends. Hey, my friends, we are back with Scott Carson, who is the Note Guy, and he's got the Note Closers podcast. So if you're in real estate, definitely check that out. And he is here dropping some amazing information for us today on some really, really, really just fantastic ideas on how you can build your email marketing list. And remember, like, obviously, all of these may not fit what your style is, right? But pick the ones that you feel resonate most with you and work with that first. So Scott, before the break, we are talking about some different types of marketing. And we talk a little bit about paid marketing because you're talking about paying for a conference list. So first of all, how do you decide what conference list you're going to pay for? And what is the typical price for that?
Great question. I want to know how many people have been to the event in the past, like the last 2 years. Okay. Also cost. Obviously cost is a big thing. I've paid $5,000 to sponsor a conference and get the database. And that's worked out well before. It's also been a flop. One had a couple thousand people at it. One had 125, you know, so that's a big difference in leads. So you got to make sure and understand what's going on. Now, the one that only had 125, we had been to other events. They had just that location in San Francisco just flopped for some apparent reason. So I think there's a much more precise way to find your ideal clients. And that's actually buying an email list. There's a company like Melissa Data, Exact Data out there. And you can go to these companies and say, hey, I want to buy a list of leads. a list of contacts. Well, let's do in real estate. We're looking for like IRA investors, right? People that have money in a self-directed IRA. Now you can go there and search exact data, talk to one of the client reps and say, hey, I've got a book that's focused on this or this. So I'm looking for interested parties. And so like I'm in the note investing. Okay, I can find real estate investors. My better half launched a podcast on fur babies, a pet podcast. It was doing an online event. So we went to exact data and say, hey, we're looking for pet owners in around Austin, Texas. And so we bought a list of 15,000 pet owners around Austin, Texas. Okay. The cost was $1,000. Okay. So you're going to pay 6 to 14 cents per lead, which is phenomenal. All right. Now it's got their names, emails, addresses, some phone numbers, stuff like that. Now somebody's on there is going to say, well, aren't you going to spam them? I'm like, no, I'm not going to spam them. I'm going to take that same list, the email list, and go to a lookalike audience for folks and then market to them with Facebook ads, drip marketing. I'm going to look into them and see if they have, I can upload 1,000 at a time into LinkedIn to see if they have a profile there and connect with them on LinkedIn as well. And just do a gentle, hey, we're hosting a podcast summit on pet investing or not on pet care, not pet investing, or a real estate summit. You know what I mean? Or you could take and say, hey, you know, came across your information and thought you might be a pet lover. You know, you might like my new book out about that. Just do a one-time email blast at 100 at a time to your CRM. If you have a new email system, CRM, don't upload the full 1,000 because they'll block you. It'll crash your system. So upload like 100 new email contacts at a time just to test to get that the email rocket rolling. And once they opened it, great, they're in your database. If they unsubscribe, great, delete them off. You ain't gonna waste your time with them anymore. But that's, you know, those are some really effective aspects of it. You know, $1,000 for 15,000 contacts, it's gonna take you a while to get that list into your CRM to market. Now we raised our database a little bit that way, but mostly our 64,000 has come from 20 years of leads, speaking, business cards, you know, social. You know, if you have clients that will be on LinkedIn, you could also use a service called OctopusCRM.io, and this is a LinkedIn based Google Chrome attachment app that basically you can create lists in there. So like what we do, I'll give you an example. You could go into LinkedIn, do a search for, say, pet lovers or pet podcast or romance authors or authors, you know what I mean? And it creates a list of 1,000 in their profiles based on what they say on LinkedIn. Well, Octopus, you click on Octopus, Octopus will pull in that 1,000 profiles into their system. And then you can set up custom mail merges where it sends out an invite to those people, customers, like say, hey, first name, last name. LinkedIn tells me you might be a pet lover. Check out my new book on Rocky the Raccoon or something. You get what I'm saying, you know, and stuff like that. And it's exactly. And it sends them on an invite. Well, you might not get their email address. You might not. They might have a public account, but that's a great start. You know, they connect with you. You send them a QR code like you do in the break there. They click on the QR code. They download your book or they download the first chapter and they give you their email. And then this is just a drip marketing campaign. And one of the most important things people can do, Lynn, is just communicate with your list on a weekly basis. Yeah. Not every day. But if you do all this work to create content or contacts, create content. It doesn't have to be a huge email. Most people prefer to read an email that's 20 lines or less, which is pretty easy to do. But just communicate with your database at least once a week on a minimum. If you start doing it longer than that, where it goes on, people are going to forget about you and those emails are going to go bad and go from there.
For some reason, once a week is like the magic number, like for podcasting, for email, for like almost everything, right? Like that, it's so funny how that works. And like, yeah, to your point, when I get emails that are like 4 and 5 paragraphs long, I get down to the second paragraph. I'm like, I'm done. That's why I make my emails like 3 pictures, like 100, 200 words, and we're done. And if you have a podcast, right, that's super easy. Like your email every week can just educate people on what's in your podcast and be like, listen to my episode. So that kind of gives it a double thing of exposing people to your podcast and obviously, you know, educating them on something else and bringing them value. So you talked about buying leads, lead lists. And that OctopusCRM.io sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to check that out.
It's like $21 a month for Octopus CRM.
What?
Yeah.
That is crazy inexpensive for that value. Holy moly. Okay. So I'm definitely going to check that out. And then, so how does that compare with, like, I've heard of people like doing Google ads to increase their email marketing list and like offer, you know, something at a discount and get them on their list that way. And, or like offer like a workshop or, you know, something like a group, something, and then get them on their email list that way. So how does buying leads from an email curated email list like that compare to doing Google ads in that respect, as far as like your costs per click and like your acquisition costs?
So I don't do Google ads. I don't waste my time because I'm not an expert at it. I'm not going to pay somebody to be an expert at trying to figure out my audience and spend thousands of dollars. And with the inception of AI out there, all right, AI is killing paid ads. Because if you think about search now, when somebody goes into Google and you type in a search question, it's not websites that come up anymore. It's AI that takes up the top half. And then if you're not in that AI response, you're not getting anything. I literally was just in an event 2 weeks ago with an AI expert talking about that. Because I've heard so many of my friends where their pay-per-clicks, pay-per-ad stuff is skyrocketing to get anything. And it's not nearly like it used to be. So what you have to do...
So they're paying more per click, but they're...
More per click because there's not enough engagement to it because AI is answering the question. And if you're not in that answer aspect of it, you're not going to see any activity. So what they did say, what's one of the better things, is to have that newsletter. You know, have a newsletter using Medium. We talked about LinkedIn, having a LinkedIn newsletter, posting articles to LinkedIn, because that's what AI actually likes to search, is newsletters, articles, and websites, stuff like that. So if you have an email blast that goes out once a week, turn it into a newsletter, switch it up, and that will increase your search and click-through ratio. Save your pay-per-click stuff for the most part, all right? And start using that same content to create credibility through AI, and AI will give you a lot better leads, unless, of course, you're buying a lead list and an email to them. That's one of the most important things you can do.
Yeah, no, that's really important. And like you said, you really need to know your audience, right? So like, obviously, besides basic demographics of like, okay, age and gender, right, which are the two most common ones, what are some of the other demographics, Scott, that you have found that are like, oh, I didn't think about this before, and or you start using that demographic and you like that demographic type and you see like, oh, wow, like this has really increased my ROI for this email list when I put these words into the search.
So not everybody's going to be your client. So quit trying to chase everybody. All right. Talk to, you have to know what your avatar is. And you know, you've heard this thing, an avatar is not a blue alien on some distant planet that James Cameron did a movie about. Okay. An avatar is like your favorite client, your ideal client. And so like, I know that our avatar is split really down the middle, 50-50 men and women. It's kind of a surprise, right? But they're 35 to 65 college educated homeowners who enjoy home improvement, passive income, and are looking to retire sooner. Okay. So those are huge numbers, especially the income size plus the demographic size. I know the top 50 cities across the country that they're in for the most part. And that's where we target those things. So those are important things. There's a lot of great tools that you can use to find out your demographics. They'll look at your Facebook, your LinkedIn, your social profiles and stuff like that. Identify that stuff. But understand that if you don't know what it is, then look who's a competitor in your industry. What's their demographics? Who are they catering to? You know, what does their marketing talk like? You know, and because people at different ages have different, you know, worries about stuff. Somebody that's under 30, they're not really making a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're building their rapport, doing what they want to do. Somebody 30s to 40s are starting to make a little bit more money and stuff like that. So that's something to keep in mind. Of what's going through those people's minds. We even named our avatars Laura and Steve. So when I'm coming up with content, I think of what questions Steve has or Laura has, and how can I answer their interests or their problems or their questions, or bring on experts on my podcast that will help add more value to Steve and Laura, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And you're not the first person I've heard that said they have named their avatar. And I know my avatar, but I have not named him. And I definitely need to do that. So this has been incredible, Scott. You have given my listeners so much value on, you know, just some specific ways you can go about better marketing and better growing your email list. Because I like the way you are looking at doing a paid list, because a lot of people will just buy a general list, but then you have no idea who's on that list. Like, you have very specific focused ways to buy it, which makes more sense. Because if you're going to put your time and effort into creating all this marketing material, you want it to be as effective as possible. So Scott, I know some of my listeners are going to want to reach out to you and find out more about you. And we mentioned earlier on the show, your complimentary online class, which we have down here, which if you go to http://noteweekend, noteweekend.com, you can sign up for Scott's complimentary online class. And Scott, tell us where else people can meet with you, can talk with you, or interested in becoming your client, and what you do specifically, because I don't know if we mentioned that in the very, very beginning.
That's okay. So easy way, if you want to pick my brain, whether it's about real estate investing or how we market, you can always go to talkwithscottcarson.com. That's my calendar link. Book a call with me. I'm always glad to talk to folks, give people 30 minutes of my time to help you overcome hurdles and any potholes along the way. So talkwithscottcarson.com. For over 20 years, I've been a real estate investor, and I'm one of the industry premier educators and investors when it comes to buying distressed mortgage notes. That's what I call it. And the podcast is called The Note Closure Show. We've got over 1,000 episodes, over 1.5 million downloads and stuff like that. We've been doing it for over 8 years, but always glad to help. But yeah, probably the easiest thing would be talkwithscottcarson.com and go from there.
Awesome. Sounds good. And I have listened to your show, even though I am not in the real estate space, and it is really valuable. I've learned so much about real estate from listening to your show. It's incredible.
Thank you.
So if you are so anyone that's interested, anyone who's listening who is interested in real estate, definitely go over to Scott's show and give a listen. All right, my friends. So this has been such a great episode. Scott, I'm so glad you came on today. And remember, my friends, you know, I love working with new and repeat authors to write and edit their nonfiction books. So instead of using your time to write your book, you can work on what you do best, and that's being a thought leader. And you can come over to writeforyou.me to hire me for my ghostwriting services. So until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I really hope this episode has equipped you with an actionable strategy for your publishing journey. If you found the information on today's show valuable, make sure to rate and leave a review for my show on your favorite podcast player. And also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice, or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.